The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show covering all the latest and greatest and controversial. No, we're probably not going to be that controversial, or will we today, in the world of PlayStation? We have some fun chats coming up later in the show. We're going to be talking a little bit about the length of games and what games feel like they're the right length, what games outstay their welcome. Are there any games that are too short that we wish went on longer? We're also going to be talking a little bit about the PS5's UI because a feature is going away that maybe you didn't even know the PS5 had if you had one, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Before we do, I'm joined this week by Mark Medina.
Alexa, set the timer for 10 minutes.
Oh no, don't do that to
I want to see who watches this podcast on a television.
Mark, I listen to so many podcasts out loud. I apologize to everyone. Hold on.
I know.
Alexa, cancel that timer. There we go.
Perfect.
Now we're reset. I apologize. Mm-hmm. We're also joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Hello. New hair, new do. I'm here to represent. Let's talk about PlayStation stuff.
It's looking awesome. I love the
thank
color
you, thank
choice.
You.
I got my hair colored for the first time literally 2 weeks before the pandemic happened. I was really excited to be like, I'm gonna go crazy. I've never had color in my hair. This will be really fun. And then 2 weeks later, it was like, oh, no one except for my girlfriend will ever see this hair. Cool. It worked out really well on my end.
I thought you did it like because you knew it, you would be inside, like because of the pandemic. It's like, I can experiment now. It's fine. But no, you were like, I'm going to go out in the world and show this. And then like, oh, all my dreams are just gone.
Shattered. Yeah, no, it wasn't like, in case it looks bad, like no one's going to see it, or like I'm sitting at home and so the lighting on the podcast may be different. No, it was just, I was really excited to show people my cool new hair, and then it didn't matter. So I
remember at the beginning of the pandemic, most people, they did one of two things. Either A, got really long hair and beards because like, you know, hair cutting places were closed or whatever, or they just took it into their own hands and just shaved bald. And they're like, I don't even care. My wife gave me a haircut. So
that's fair. I don't know anyone who did the shaving. I feel like I saw photos, but I don't know anyone at IGN who did like, I'm going bald.
Nobody at IGN. Okay. Everybody at IGN went post-apocalyptic.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
they set the mood.
If you haven't seen them, John Ryan's hair is just incredible at this point. You know, speaking of the length of hair as it developed throughout the pandemic, let's talk about the length of video games. Wow, what a transition, Jonathan. That was great.
Segway plus.
You know, we wanted to talk a little bit about this because we've been talking over the last week or two. A lot of conversations came up around Stray, which is a roughly... you can beat it in under 5 hours. Some people can beat it faster on their first go. There's a speedrun trophy for beating it under 2. And a lot of debate came about of like, is it the right length? Does it feel like it's too short a game? Did we want more of it? Does it feel like it's the right length for the game that they're doing? And a lot of these questions came up and got us all kind of thinking about like, what are some games we felt like were the right length, or games that went on too long, or games that were even too short? I think, you know, we kind of want to talk about games we feel like worked well in the length that they're campaign spans. You know, obviously we're not talking about multiplayer experiences necessarily here, or like free-to-play stuff in terms of games where you're playing 100 matches a week or whatever. But I think we kind of want
to... I haven't beat Fortnite
I still
yet.
Can't
I'm trying it. My hardest.
despite everything, I mean, there is technically a campaign. You can still play the Save the World campaign if you
that's true.
If you subscribe.
That's true. I actually, surprisingly to everybody probably, I played 8 minutes of Fortnite over the weekend.
Hey.
How? 8 minutes.
Wait, tell me what happened in those 8 minutes. Did you play a match or were you just on the menus?
I was making breakfast and I was making breakfast pizza. I threw it in the oven. I had 8 minutes left on the timer. And one of my friends who I was hanging out with had to use the restroom. So he's like, I need you to hop on the controller. So I played for 8 minutes of Fortnite.
How did you do?
He went to the bathroom. I did about 200 damage sniping, and then my squad ran into two squads and got annihilated, and then I died last. So I held up the team longer.
That's...
I think we finished 10th.
All right.
And then the pizza was done.
And then the pizzas were done.
Well,
yeah.
Jada, welcome to the Fortnite gang. We're happy to have you.
Oh, no, no.
Damn it.
That would be the last time.
That's all it takes.
That's it. That's all it took.
Anyway, the Fortnite.
Could you imagine a world where if you get like a battle royale in a victory royale in Fortnite, like end credits roll? It's like you did it. You beat the game.
Every time you get a win, though.
It's unskippable.
We can talk about unskippable credits later for a game I was playing. But anyway, we did want to talk about game length and kind of games we think worked well in their time and games that didn't, you know, things of that nature. I think the first thing worth pointing out about this conversation that we're going to have, first and foremost, is we're not talking about the length of a game as it relates to the amount that you would pay for that game. I think at the end of the day, you know, like how much you are willing to spend on a game is a personal choice for everyone. Obviously, there's a lot of conversations about, you know, was Stray worth buying on its own for $40 or $30? What, I forget which it exactly was. Is it worth it to just subscribe to PS Plus Extra instead? You know, obviously a lot of the Last of Us Part 1 remake questions around price as well, for different reasons. But we're not talking so much about like whether a game's price merits the time, more so about whether the way the campaign is laid out, the way the game's, you know, naturally unfurls as you go, whether it feels like it justifies the time that it goes for, we're kind of talking about here. The other thing I think worth mentioning is that for the most part, if we're going to talk about a game that we feel like was too long, we're not saying that game was bad because of it. We're just sort of saying like we feel like it outstayed its welcome maybe, or that it just, there was a great game and then it went on for another 15, 20 hours. I think, you know, I was thinking about a lot of the too long games that I've played and I enjoyed them. And then I just put them down because I had to move on because I just wanted to play other games. So, you know, I think there's a lot of what we're trying to get at here is like, what does it mean, I guess, for a game to be the right length? What does it mean for it to be too long or too short? And I guess, you know, before we get into any specifics, do any of you feel like there's a sort of, I don't think there's any sort of like magical equation to it. I think it really just depends on what the game is striving to be. I think like using Stray as an example, Mark, maybe from your perspective, that game feels like it uses the length that it is correctly. I feel like it's the right length for what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it's totally a subjective thought, right?
Yeah.
Like when you think of Stray and you think it's 5 hours long, I've actually seen people say like, I wish Stray was like one more chapter because I wanted this part a little bit more fleshed out. And I'm like, that's totally valid. I don't feel that way, but like it's a totally valid argument. And then there's a lot of people that, you know, love Witcher 3 and something Witcher 3, something that CD Projekt has even come out and said, hey, we know we put too much content in that game. And like the little question marks became a little overwhelming. Some people really, really love that. And Witcher 3 is one of the greatest, you know, open world RPGs of all time. So for someone to say, oh, the game was too long, it's, you know, it's too long for me kind of deal.
Totally.
I'm not saying that for myself because I have only ever played the first few hours of The Witcher 3. But like, it's totally like a subjective topic. Every single game on here, like when I look at the games that Jonathan, I'm like, I love those games. I also agree that they're too long. So, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of wiggle room in there and kind of what we're talking about. As Mark said, it's very like subjective for the experience you wanted. I think like, you know, there are people who will probably say, I couldn't get enough of The Witcher. I have played it through several times and want to just keep experiencing it. So yeah, it's a very much personal thing. And I would love, you know, for next week's episode, if there are certain games that you feel like were the right length or like really outstayed their welcome or were too short, please write into beyond@ign.com or, you know, leave a comment on the video version of the show and we'll read some of those answers next week. But to jump into some, Jada, let me start with you. What's a game that you felt like was just the right length of time?
I mean, I got to go with one of the greatest campaigns that's released in the last like decade or so. I forget the year it launched, but Titanfall 2. It's been out for so long, it feels like, but not out long enough. I don't know. It's covering all parts of the spectrum.
2016 for reference.
2016. There we go.
It was early Mark IGN. Same. And I started in 2015. So
I couldn't remember if it was 2014 or 2016. Maybe the first one was 2014.
The first one was
2013.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I'm confusing. But Titanfall 2. I mean, this campaign is just like balls to the wall. Like, it's just literally full of action. It's just constantly giving you new things and new things to try and new mechanics, and all the level designs are great, fantastic. The story is well done. It's paced perfectly. Like, there's a reason why so many people want a Titanfall 3, and it's because of this campaign. Like, the multiplayer is great as well, but the campaign is just so well done. It's Mark, you were telling me, like, this is one of the ones you visit regularly, right?
Yeah, well, the thing with Titanfall 2 is, like, I've never even thought about length. I don't even know how long it takes to beat. The game just, like, every level introduces, like, something new and cool and is, like, original. Like, has really, really iconic levels. The portal level, for one. Mm-hmm. The smart pistol level towards the end. And then the, like, house building platforming level. Like, there's so many like iconic things that happen in that game that I think that's what makes it a perfect length game, because I'm never thinking about the length. I'm just playing it and just loving every second of it.
I think, speaking to that, and I think that's something that, you know, we touched on in our like stray spoiler free discussion, but I think a game that continuously introduces new ideas or new concept per levels is a way to keep things fresh, even if it's a short campaign. Like, I'm looking it up on our sister site, How Long to Beat, and it says the campaign is mostly 6 hours for people. 6 to 8 hours it falls in somewhere, which feels like a good FPS campaign length. We rated this the second best first-person shooter campaign of all time. What's number one?
Now I want to know what the first one is.
Half-Life 2. I was going to say good IGN, but it's Half-Life 2.
Okay.
Anyway, this is one I feel really bad. I still haven't played it. I have it, like, I own it. I think I own it in both physical and digital for some reason, and I still haven't played it, and I feel really bad about it, because I know both of you have talked about it a lot.
Well, I spoiled a really cool last level.
I've heard about everything, so... But
it's so good, and BT is amazing. The game is great. It stars Matt Mercer, and everybody loves him now. This is before he got really, really big. So the game is awesome.
It's one that I've heard continuously great things about. Jada, have you gone back to it since like you originally played it, or is it one that just like really has stuck with you over time?
Yeah, I played it. I think I played it on Xbox like back when it first dropped. And then I think it was last year was part of my trophy run, where I went through and redid it, played through it on PlayStation and got the platinum last year. So I don't know if I have it on the list for this year, because I've got a lot of stuff backlogged that I'm trying to catch up on. But I might be able to spare like an afternoon to breeze through it again. Yeah. And this time I don't need to play it on the hardest difficulty and go for all the trophy stuff. I can just kind of enjoy the story and chew through the enemies with ease.
I think at the end of this year, you definitely need to give us a status report of the games you're going to do that marathon platinum run for, and then we can, you know, circle back at the beginning of the year. Why did I say circle back? We're not talking professional things. We can talk in the new year about all the games you did platinum. But were you going to say something else? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm actually considering streaming it this year.
Ooh, cool.
That way people can follow along with live progress. So we'll see. I'm getting some of the stuff set up and prepped for it. That way it's organized.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, random.
I get it. Yeah. I my girlfriend wonderfully helped me create a bunch of stream assets for me, and a lot of prep goes into it. Anyway, I really need to get to this one, but it's good to hear that it feels like it's the right length for that. Mark, what's one for you that feels like it's the length that it should be, that it feels like it doesn't outstay its welcome?
Yeah. The timer froze, so I don't know when we're supposed to go to break.
You keep going.
But, so I actually thought about it a lot, and I was like, I would love to find a game that I felt like was too short, but I can't think of anything. There's like almost never a situation where I'm just like, you know, whatever. the game's over. I'm happy with that. But something I actually replayed recently because I got a PS5 patch was What Remains of Edith Finch. That game is like an hour and a half, hour 45, if you know what you're doing. It's the definition of a walking simulator. Like, it is like peak walking simulator. You just walk from room to room, and it's essentially just a movie. Like, it tells you a story, but an interactive movie. There are gameplay elements. You actually play as a cat at the beginning of the game, so it's the original Stray. I don't know if you guys have played it, but it's something that, I don't know, the moment it ended, I was like, yep, that was perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. If it was even just like a half an hour longer, I felt like it would have probably dragged on a little bit more. But the second you're like, okay, I kind of get what's going on, it ends, it does its big like ending reveal, and then you're just like, great, that's great. And it makes me want to go back and play it every time I start thinking about it, because I know that it's something that I can just like pick up in an afternoon and just like play it in one continuous. Cause like I said, there are like things where you're like, I don't know exactly where I'm supposed to, not necessarily, I don't know where to go, but like one of the first memories you do is like, you're like going around as a monster, and it's like, you could get a little turned around. But once you know exactly what room you're supposed to go to and in what order kind of deal, it's definitely something you could breeze through.
Yeah.
And, the game is great. If you've not played it, the music is fantastic and the story is awesome.
You really should. And we'll talk a little bit more about Edith Finch and some other games that we really enjoyed right after this break.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back, everyone. We were just talking about Edith Finch. Mark, you were mentioning, you know, it's sort of something you can play like hour and a half. I did just have a friend who played it. It's on the PS Plus, I think, Extra Collection right now. Unfortunately, as far as I know, the Extra, if you redeem it via Extra, you can't get the PS5 upgrade. There's some weird sort of...
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, there's some weird there. Hopefully it gets sorted. I know this has kind of happened with PS Plus before. But yeah, this is one that I think, without spoiling it, again, refreshes itself every little bit. Mm-hmm. And it keeps introducing new concepts and new ideas and things that make you be like, okay, the next 20-minute chunk of this game is not like the last 20-minute chunk I just played. Like you said, it is, at the end of the day, a first-person like walking simulator thing where you're going through the story.
Yep.
But how it approaches that changes the context every 20, 15 minutes or so. It's really cool in that way.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of like you know, just the first like memory, you know, you do, like I said, you kind of become a cat, because like it's the whole game can be interpreted in like weird ways, right? There's no like, I don't think there's any right or wrong answer, but you become a cat and then you become like a little monster thing, and it's like that only happens at that moment. There are different versions of these things every time you progress, but then it's one of those things where it's like, if you want to take your time, just like in games like Gone Home, every inch of the house can be explored, and you'll see button prompts everywhere, and she'll say different things that like don't necessarily progress, but she just like has things to say about everything. So it's like, it's definitely a game you probably could play for like longer than 2 hours. But I remember my first playthrough just being like, yep, that was great.
Yeah.
Jada, have you played it?
I actually have not. I was considering putting this one on my trophy list for the year. Cause I just never got around to this one. I've heard nothing but great stuff about it. But I think when it dropped, I was, kind of snobby about like, kind of like walking sim type games, experiential stuff.
There was also a lot of them at that time.
There was. and so it's just one that I just never got around to. I'm pretty sure I own it because they've given it away so many times on PS Plus, I want to say. But I just haven't got around to it yet. But it definitely looks interesting. And based on your description, it sounds like it might be more up my alley now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved so many of these games when they came out. I remember one of my least favorite was the one that like popularized the genre, which was Gone Home. I liked Gone Home a lot, but I remember finishing it and kind of being like, meh, you know. And then I played this and Firewatch, and Firewatch is fantastic.
Firewatch,
and that's what kind of got me. Yeah, and that's what kind of got me hooked on these, and I started appreciating. I think playing this in Firewatch and like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture made me kind of appreciate Gone Home more, because I think I was kind of like, yeah, I was like, I don't really understand what the point of this is. Like when I was doing the description for the PS5 version of the video I made for this, I was like, this is when the gameplay starts, the gameplay like this is when you get to move. Like, yeah. It is the gameplay, right? Gameplay isn't just swinging a sword. In this game, the gameplay is walking. So this is when it is. And if you're watching the B-roll, this is when you become a cat. So well, awesome game.
I think that's something that we've definitely, as more games are released in general, but I think also as people try different things and especially cross genre experiment, I think stuff like walking simulators, originally I think there was derision toward it because it was the idea of the name of the genre inherently is a little bit derisive, but it was sort of like, oh, you're not doing anything, you're just walking through. But most of them find really interesting ways to make you interact with the world, to the way they deliver their story through the environment and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's sort of the same with visual novels. Like you could be pessimistic or just kind of write the genre off as saying, well, I'm just reading a book that's on the screen with still images and occasionally choosing dialogue, but the genre is so much more complex than that. And I think walking sim games have gotten that way as well.
And the thing is like, yeah, exactly what to your point is like, walking simulator is not what these are called.
Sure.
That's like a derogatory, like
it's the
audience given name.
Yeah.
I think they would be preferred to be called like narrative adventures.
Yeah.
Like narrative driven experiences.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of like, right.
Yeah.
Under the adventure
there's only one
umbrella sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause they kind of are like adventure. Like you can take Edith Finch and even Stray and kind of just be like, this is an adventure game. You're looking around for things to click on. You're just not using a mouse pointer anymore. You're using, you know, a cat or, you know, first
cat
person
is your pointer.
There is a walking simulator.
The cat
simulator.
Is your mouse.
Yeah, exactly. There is a walking simulator. That's Death Stranding, because that game, you actually are simulating
how
walking.
To walk properly.
Or Quap.
Yes. Quap. If only it were on PlayStation. But yeah. Edith Finch, definitely recommend that out there, especially, Jada, if you're interested for your trophy run. I think it takes, you can get the trophy in a single playthrough. Otherwise, you know, it would be probably a short, like, half hour cleanup at most. So you can get the platinum within like 3 hours, I think.
Nice.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah. It's going on the list.
Perfect. For me, there were a lot of games that I wanted to call out as just right, and one that I may mention later, just as like an example of the other extreme, but because we're kind of all talking a little bit about shorter games right now, and I do think often a shorter game has the benefit of feeling like the right length because it doesn't usually outstay its welcome. For me, one from Sony First Party that did this really well, there's a few of them, but I think for me, I always think about my experience with Lost Legacy. Especially coming off of the back of Uncharted 4, which I think a general consensus for that game was as great as a lot of it is. Some people definitely felt the length of that game toward the latter half of it. I think that's probably the most common complaint you see, is that it feels like it went on a little too long toward the end. Lost Legacy is kind of the opposite. It's one of the shorter Uncharteds, you know, the first one or so notwithstanding, but one of the definitely the shorter of the PS4 entries. And I think it just uses that time really well. I think having the sort of like the two main protagonist focus of the two of their stories going on simultaneously as the focus of the plot really lends things to it with Chloe and Nadine. I think the pacing of combat, puzzle, exploration, and like set pieces is really well laid out throughout this one. And I think it just, you know, it's a really interesting one because it originally started as a DLC bonus that was going to be part of Uncharted 4. And then it actually grew to be so big, they released it as a standalone thing. But I think as a standalone, I think it roughly maybe is like 6 to 7 hours, maybe a little bit longer, especially if you're like going for completion of stuff. But I think it almost plays a little bit like a greatest hits of Uncharted. Like they figured out what the model of the older Uncharteds could be like and really executed it, for me, the best. When you like think of the way the older trilogy worked and this one, I see them all kind of more of a piece even than 4, because 4 is just such a bigger adventure. But for me, Lost Legacy is just like, I've been meaning to, I still need to play the PS5 version. I was running through the series with my girlfriend, and then we took a break from it. But I really, really loved Lost Legacy when it came out. I don't know about either of you, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that game. And it's funny. It's kind of like the format that it took, where it's like Uncharted 4 was this longer game that some people have kind of looked back at and thought, man, this might be a little too long. Lost Legacy is just like this perfect length. It kind of happened with Spider-Man as well. I know there was a little bit of rumblings when Miles Morales came out, and people were like, wait, so was Spider-Man 2018 a little too long? Like, because Miles Morales is like perfect. I personally don't fall on the camp of Spider-Man being too long. I thought that game is just so damn fun. But I do fall on the camp with Uncharted 4. That game is pretty long, but it is also my favorite Uncharted. So
yeah.
But yeah, I love Lost Legacy as well.
It's possible to love a thing and critique it. Who could have thought?
Yep. Yep.
I think Lost Legacy is probably my favorite. I just loved how the design kind of evolves as you play through it. Like, it very much has this system of where there's that one area where you have like the three towers, and the puzzle's difficulty changes depending on which tower you go to first. It doesn't matter which tower you go to first. The easiest one will always be the first one you do. The hardest one will always be the last one you do.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of stuff like that in the game. And I love that about Lost Legacy.
Yeah, it's. I think they really cleverly played with the length and form and function of an Uncharted game, and I think for me, more than anything, that's why I've wanted another Uncharted. Was like, do a smaller one like this. That's totally okay. Just like make another one like that, please. It would be so great. I think, you know, going back to your mentioned Mark of Spider-Man, as someone who reviewed both games, I never felt like Spider-Man the story was too long. I think if you're trying to go platinum it, it gets a little too long in the tooth because of the crimes that you need to go for and how repetitive that gets. But I think what Miles showed was like they can tell a really concrete, precise story in this world that's a little shorter but still feels so great. For me, it was like Spider-Man's campaign wasn't too long. I think it was just the way, at the end of the day, you reused your time in the world became a little too long in the tooth. But like campaign-wise, I never felt like it was too bad. But anyway.
Yeah, I would agree.
Moving on from there, I did just want to actually mention as one that's sort of on the opposite spectrum, and there's probably people who disagree with me, but I actually do think for a very long game, I really love Persona 5 because it, I think, changes up the flow of the game in many ways. You know, obviously it's infiltrate a palace, the dungeons of that game, live your life, infiltrate a palace, live your life. But the way palaces get introduced and the way that, you learn about things changes throughout the game. So just as you feel like you're getting into a familiar pattern, it changes itself. And so I do think there are long games that can feel right, but it's definitely harder mm-hmm. to nail down, you know, Mark speaking to Witcher for some people, as you were saying earlier, but also I know Persona is also just too long for some people. So, you know,
my long game honorable mention was Red Dead 2, because Red Dead 2 is very long, but that game I feel like earns every chapter it gets. I love that game a lot, and I remember finishing it and never feeling like this is going on way too long. And same could be said for Grand Theft Auto 5, another long game that I really love. So yeah, there are definitely long games that I think still earn their time.
Yeah.
I don't need every game to be short. I just want it to earn how long you're forcing me to spend with it.
Well, speaking of games that are too long, we're going to talk about those in just a second right after this break. Beyond and welcome back. We're talking about games that we feel like work in terms of the length that they are, or games that are maybe too long for us, games that maybe outstayed their welcome. Maybe we still really liked them. I think most of the games that I've thought of as we were planning this discussion were games I still really, really loved. It was just kind of one of those. Maybe it went on a little too long. But before mm-hmm. we get to all that, Jada, what is one that you have felt like went on maybe a little bit too long?
So this one was a tough one for me because I'm a completionist, so I like to finish my games regardless, but sometimes there are games where I get 20, 30, 50 hours in, I'm just like, I'm done. Yeah. I can't do it. I'm bored, and I'm going to move on to something else. One of them was Digimon World New Order. This one came out quite a bit ago, but I was reminded by it because I started playing Digimon Survive this week. How is that, by the way?
I've heard...
The dialogue, there's a lot of dialogue in the build-up for it. And it's voice acted, a good chunk of it's voice acted, which is nice. But I don't know, I'm only probably about 5 hours in, and I'm still like in part two, which I don't know how many parts there are. It's like, you hear part two and you're like, okay, I'm like in the second act or the second half of the game. No, this is like literally the second chapter is like part two.
You're in the second half of the tutorial.
Yes, basically.
I mean,
yeah, prologue of, part two.
That's a lot of the feedback you get with Persona, where it feels like the tutorial's too long for some people. But anyway.
But yeah, Digimon World New Order was a lot of fun in the early hours, but the Digimon get old at some point. Like, they age as you progress through the game, and then they revert into eggs, and then you have to re-raise them to get back to your power spikes. So I just remember there's a lot of times where I would get to an area like a dungeon or a quest, and then my Digimon would be like, oh, hey, we're too old now. We're going to revert back to eggs. And then I have to go hatch them again and then raise them back up from rookies up to their champion or ultimate or mega forms to be able to take on the next area. And so it just kind of artificially lengthened the game by having that age mechanic. And like, age mechanic is not a new thing when it comes to Digimon games. I understand that. It's always been, not always, but it's been a thing in multiple entries. But it just made the game drag on so long. I was just like, I can't do it again. Which is a shame because I was really enjoying it.
The game is so long, the literal characters in the game die of old age.
I mean, I figured this was probably one of the best ones I could bring up for this.
It's like the most literal definition of too long characters.
Yeah, that's a real meta commentary on the length of a game that you're playing. If the characters have gone on for too long. Is that something that's at all present in Survive, at least from what you've played for? Or
not that I've seen so far, thankfully. I really hope it isn't, and I just haven't gotten to it because I've been doing a lot of free battles, just kind of like leveling up and power leveling early.
Gotcha.
Which could be a downfall later on. Who knows? Digimon is always very like, your Digivolutions are based on your stats or your bond with your Digimon and see who you get when they Digivolve. So I'm interested to see how that system works, because old school Digimon World on the PS1, you messed up stats and did something wrong, you got stuck with the poop Digimon Numamon.
I remember those days not fondly. Yeah, not fondly.
Not
at all.
Fun. Yeah. Not fun.
Definitely. I rented that game from Blockbuster for a week and then never rented it again because I felt very bad about my choices. You'll have to let us know about how Survive turns out, though, because that was one I know a lot of people were excited for and interested in pre-launch. I know there's been some sort of like, we didn't get code, I think, till launch, so some people were sort of like worried about the state of it. But yeah, I'm curious what you think as you play through it. Mark, what's one for you that you feel was a little too long or outside its welcome? You have it written down. Oh, I have some questions for you, but you know, let's go Go first. Go ahead.
Here we go. Okay. So a few months ago, I was like, okay, I have played World of Warcraft since 2005, and Final Fantasy 14 is all the rage. So let's get into this. That game, guys, holy smokes. I can't even explain to you. I don't want to say the words unwelcoming, even though I just said it, because I know that a lot of people will not like that. Okay, so here's how World of Warcraft works, okay? In World of Warcraft, everything's level-based, right? So you want to go, so you find yourself in Wrath of the Lich King's area, Northrend, and you're in Grizzly Hills, and you're like, I hate Grizzly Hills, I don't want to do these. Alternative, you're like, I don't want to do these quests. These quests suck. I don't care about these bears that I have to kill. What you can do is you can just grind. You can find side quests to do. You can go do dungeons, right? And once you out-level the area and you're allowed to go somewhere else, you can just go somewhere else. Are you missing, you know, kind of parts of the story? I guess. But there's not anything stopping the player from just being like, I don't want to do this. I just want to dungeon grind from zero to, yeah, level cap's like 60 now. Maybe 70 with the new expansion. I can't remember. Anyways, Final Fantasy 14 does not let you do that. Final Fantasy 14 has a main story quest, none of which are skippable. And when I tell you that this goes on, I can't even begin. So I'm playing through and I'm just like, I'm just doing the main story quest because that's basically all you have to do now. You don't even have to do side quests to, I was still out leveling the main story quest. But that's a problem, right? I'm like level 40 doing level 20 main story quests because you can't skip them. You are not allowed to. So I got to the point where I'm just like, I'm not really letting the dialogue play out. I'm just like quick reading everything. And I'm just like, okay, tell me what I got to do. So I get to level 60 and I'm like, all right, time to move on to the next expansion. Nope. I looked up. I still had 70 plus main story quests to get through. I'm not done. That's just to get to the next expansion. I had 70 quests of A Realm Reborn to get through. Then there's patch quests, which are quests that came out after the main story ends, but before the next expansion. Another 60 quests I had to do before you could go to the next expansion. And every expansion has that. So, basically, if you want to play with your friends who are max level in Endwalker, it's like 400 hours of quests. That is too long. I'm sorry. That is too long.
I've
heard. They just added where like you can do dungeons with like NPCs now because the dungeons would like stop you. You would then need to like, because dungeons are part of the main quest. Alternatively, what you can do is you can pay $25 for a main quest skip, right? There's two things you can buy. You can buy a level thing that puts you at the max level, but it doesn't let you skip the main quest. So then you still have to spend hundreds of hours doing all the main quests. Or you can pay $25 to skip the main quest, but it doesn't level you. So then you're just at the mercy of side quests, fates, and instance grinding, right? Or you can pay $50 and do both. But then you'll be told by every Final Fantasy 14 player that you skipped the best story ever told, apparently. But at least maybe ever told in an MMO. So after about 100 and something hours, I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm out. But I don't want to skip the story because that's what everyone says is so great. So I'm skipping the game altogether. I'm done. Sorry, Final Fantasy 14 audience. Your game is too damn long.
FF14 fans, drag him in the comments. Burn.
Go for it. I don't even care.
No, I mean,
yeah, there's no rebuttal. There's nothing anybody could say. That is too long. 400 hours? No.
What I will say, to be fair, I will say I agree in the terms of I wish there were easier ways to skip around, because I'm someone who came to FF14 very late and have to go back to it. I've taken a big gap, but beat A Realm Reborn. It was made as a game a decade ago that you were playing the beginnings of those quests. And the intention was that all that stuff would be played originally over time. To me, it sounds like they didn't find the best solutions for people who are coming in now is the biggest thing.
Which is why I prefaced it with unwelcoming to new players. I do find the game extremely unwelcoming to new players. Like, it is, if I want to play with my friend who's at the end of Endwalker, I either have to just immediately spend $50 and buy all the expansions, of course, or whatever it is they make you pay for. MMOs are weird. Or tell them I'll see them in a few months.
Well, the solution that I had was I had five other friends who started at the same time, so we didn't have that problem. But no, I get
there you go.
So you just need to get
different.
But
you still gave up. You only got past A Realm Reborn.
It was already 100 plus hours. We had spent like a weekend staying up straight trying to get a house. We literally were taking shifts. Like, luckily we had friends in different territories, but we literally would be like, okay, I wake up and I sign into the game and have it running in the background while I work. I go to bed, my friend in the UK is getting on soon and he's going to look and wait at that spot to get us a house. The housing system is
house lotteries.
I didn't even get to that point. But what I'm hearing is that you are still four expansions away from endgame.
Oh, I'm not even close.
Which is probably 250 hours. Because every expansion, according to how long to beat, but how long to beat looks a little like inflated sometimes. Just doing some Google searching, people have said that every expansion's probably around 50 or 60 hours.
Roughly.
But there's four of them. So you're definitely 200 hours away from like endgame. You know, Endwalker. The great thing that this game does that something like World of Warcraft doesn't do is you only need one character, right? Yeah. Because if you decide I want to play as another character, you don't have to do the main story quest again. You just have to do that class's quests, you know, every five levels or so, and then just, you know, kind of power level it to the main level. So that is like one thing. I'm like, I will never delete this. You know, this character will stay with me forever because I've progressed so far in the main story quest,
Yeah, that's been my favorite thing about Final Fantasies and MMOs, just that fact of having one character that can do everything. The tricky part then is just managing your inventory between all your jobs, because I have my paladin, my ninja, my white mage are all like 70 plus, I want to say right now, and everything else is like anywhere from 40 to 60 or so. And so like, I just kind of rotate between them when I get to a story quest. I'm like, oh, I'm past the story level. Well, guess I'll hop on to my warrior and I'll do a quest as a warrior, or I'll hop on my black mage and I'll do it as a black mage this time, which is kind of nice. So it kind of gives you that kind of wiggle room but even if you don't want to swap classes or you don't have a class leveled up, it just levels you down, which is nice. It just caps you for that quest, and you still get the full experience for your main job when you finish it. So you still get the EXP. Nothing's lost. Nothing's forfeited for, you know, playing a level that's max, a class that's max, unless you're at level cap four, wherever we're at now, then that EXP just kind of banks for later.
But Mark, I think to your point of like, when you're trying to rush through it to catch up, you feel that time pressure, I think, more than anything. So I get where you're coming from.
My thing was I was going to play with a couple of friends, and I eventually had to just tell them. I was like, nah, this isn't gonna happen. Sorry about that. I want to live correct something as far as like World of Warcraft versus something like Final Fantasy 14. The games just play completely different. So while Final Fantasy 14, you can just change your class, World of Warcraft does give you the option where if you're playing as something like a paladin, that is technically three different classes. You can play as a healer, a tank or a DPS. So the games just play differently. So that's not a, I don't want to get into like how each one chooses how to play a class. Like sure. They just do it in different ways.
Sure. Well, and World of Warcraft is also a visual novel, as we all know. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Where it's like Final Fantasy, if you're playing as a white mage, like you're healing.
Yeah.
Bro. That's what you're doing. That's
well, if you're doing your job properly.
Yeah. You could just jump around like I do.
I
was playing as a bard and I just never stopped moving because they don't really have like cast spells. They're just shooting with a bow and arrow. And I just jumped around. I had a lot of fun with the game, but
yeah, again, way too long. You're not saying it was a bad game because of it. It was just a sort of, yeah. A little long for you.
Too long for old Marky.
For that old man. We'll talk a little bit more about long games right after this. And we're back talking about controversial things that will get Mark hate in the comments. But in addition to that, I have a game that for me was also too long. And this is an interesting one because I realized just a few minutes ago I talked about a 120 to 160 hour JRPG that I said I felt was the right length. But I gave up on a game that I was really enjoying because it felt like it was going on for a little too long, but that was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And I say this, I say this with the full knowledge that I am someone who played all of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is often, mm-hmm. I think, the one people, at least of Origins and Odyssey, said ran on way too long. And I do think there is a little bit of that game definitely gets a little long in the tooth as well. But for me, Valhalla was... I played, I think, 40 to 50 hours. It was 40 to 50 hours in, and I just didn't feel like I had made progress. Like, I was moving mm-hmm. through the story. I was completing quests. I was taking time to go explore and just experiment with the world. But it felt like a thing where the more I got into it, the less I felt like I had accomplished to a certain degree, it's a massive game. And I think, you know, this is where sort of the like money and time divide is out the window for this question. Cause like, if you are buying maybe two or three games a year and you can get AC Valhalla, which will keep you busy for 200 plus hours, then mm-hmm. yes, that makes sense. I think it's also something where if I maybe played this game over a longer stretch of time, because I played those first 40 hours like over a Christmas break, like it was all I did for a couple weeks, and I just kind of got burnt out on it. I just felt like I was running through motions. I wasn't really interested in progressing. I just was progressing because I felt like I had to. But you know, I was enjoying the world. I think it's a beautiful world. I think the some of the expansions to stuff are a little too much for me, but I think the way that they started to build on the RPG ideas that they had in Origins and Odyssey were very good, and so it wasn't a lack of interest in what the game was. It was just like, I just at a certain point was like, I don't even, am I anywhere near the start or the beginning or the start or the middle of the mm-hmm. end of the game? Like, I didn't know. And I think we were talking off show and Mark, you were like roughly around the same point. You were telling me where you were. And it was like, oh, for most people, that's like not even really the beginning of the game. Like, we're just getting to the main thrust of the game to a certain extent.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong because I never made it past this part, but yeah, you start in what it's like Normandy, right? I can't remember exactly.
You start on the Normandy of Mass Effect.
Exactly, yes. And you mm-hmm. go from space.
Norway.
I mean, is Assassin's Creed? It's plausible. but you start on an island, and then you know, and then when you leave that island and you head to the main land, that's when you get your logo, right? And you're like, all right, this is when the game starts. And the way it's structured is you can kind of go in many different directions from there and do these like tiny vignettes almost. Well, I said the word tiny and I definitely don't mean that. but yeah, you basically are going to different towns to help people, and each vignette comes with somebody who then is like, I'm gonna go back to, you know, man, it's been so long since I played it. Ravenshold, I think, is the name of your town.
Sounds right.
And they're okay, good. And I'm like, and they're gonna go back with you. And I still had a few of those to go. You kind of just go to the map and you choose which mm-hmm. one you want to do, and then you go and do it. I still had a few of those to go, and somebody who has beaten the game told me, yeah, the game doesn't really start until you've done all of those. Then it becomes more Assassin's Creed. Like, right now you're just like in the recruiting phase. So I don't know if that's actually like true. I don't know if people would maybe that's just when the story got interesting for that particular person that I was talking to. But hearing that news made me be like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can keep going.
Honestly, that sounds about right. I think I put about 70 hours in, similar to Jonathan, where it was just over like 2 weeks and I was going through the motions, like almost identical. Like I was just like, yes, Jonathan, that was exactly the same way I felt playing this game. And I got through, I think I have like one, maybe two left of those people to recruit, but I felt like, I could be wrong, but I feel like I remembered as I did a couple more, like more kept popping up. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, mm-hmm. I have more people to recruit now. I'm like, ugh. I was so ready to move on and get like on with the story and actually progress stuff. And I just never felt like I was progressing. And to your like tiny comment, Mark, it does feel like it's tiny in scale to like the whole game.
Right, right. Which each one of those is like hours and hours long. But when you're in a game that's 100 hours long, that's, yeah, they're tiny in scale.
Yeah, and like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be, if I ever end up going back, it's going to be like a 250-hour investment for me. It's what I feel like right now from where I'm at. And like,
and so like, confused on what this beer is.
Sorry. We're talking about glitches in the game. Obviously launch stuff, but yeah.
But yeah, yeah, and I think it was Norway is where we started, if I remember correctly.
Norway, that's it. Yeah. I don't know.
Normandy, Norway, they start with Nor.
They're the same.
Beach somewhere. But yeah, no, for me, it was one of those things where I was enjoying the game up until the part where I'd, and you know, speaking to like both of our experiences, maybe it was just playing it in too much of a rush sort of thing. Maybe it's, I was talking to a friend recently who has played through the whole thing, and they were like, I thought of the game more as almost like a prestige TV show, where it was sort of like each of those recruitment sessions was almost like an episode or like a short season of it. And I was like, oh, that structure, thinking of it that way, makes a lot more sense. But I didn't feel like the game communicated that, I guess, for me. It was like that actually would probably make me go back and be like, okay, I'm going to complete an episode this week and then maybe take a few days off and complete another. And knowing that it wouldn't affect the flow of it, I think for me, I was like, well, it's got to be ramping up, but it's because you have all these mini stories. I think it feels like it ramps up and then it, you know, has a fall down again so it can begin the next mini arc that it has. And I think that flow just wasn't what I was expecting or prepared for, and it really threw me as I played. But like, I think the world they made was beautiful. I think there were a lot of clever stuff going on in there. I was playing as Fiona Ivor and I loved her performance. I thought she was great. But yeah, just one of those ones where I would like to go back to it at some point, but I know it's going to be a probably 150-hour investment, and that just is a little scary. I think the solution is to just play a little bit over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Seems to be the
we'll
more
finish helpful. It, yeah. We'll finish it in 2030.
Perfect.
What I heard is that the vignette section is like, that's the Viking part of the game, and then the next part is the Assassins part of the game.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay, I want to get to the Assassins part.
Huh.
But the Viking part is too long. It's so long.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. I'm very curious about that. Obviously, that franchise is also in a little bit of a pause moment. They've been supporting Valhalla post-launch for a couple of years now. And we've heard rumors, and they've talked a little bit broadly about what AC Infinity might be. And it almost sounds like AC Infinity is taking the episodic approach, but just building it into the way that game is going to be structured in terms of a platform that introduces new Assassin's Creed campaigns into it. And so, yeah, I was thinking about it as I was playing or thinking about this conversation. I was like, man, I kind of want to go play like the older ACs again, because they're longer, but they're more contained than the more recent ones. And I think there's a nice balance you can reach. But
I was going to say, I didn't know about that with the Infinity, about that kind of like piecemealing it out and releasing over time. I was going to say, when we were talking about how your friend mentioned like Premiere TV, I was like, that actually might be a good idea for Assassin's Creed. It's just like, hey, every month or every 2 weeks, here's, you know, the next 8 hours of quests, almost kind of like how Final Fantasy 14 does it post launch, post expansion. I think that could work really well, because I feel like I would be more apt to be like, okay, cool, I did everything that I can do right now, I can take a week off, go play whatever I want to play, and then come back in a week or two and do the next large chunk and come back. And like, I guess we could do that ourselves and like self-govern ourselves to do that, but it's a lot harder. I don't know, maybe have ADHD when it comes to playing like these open world games. I'm like, oh, like I need fur from this goat. So I got to go hunt these goats now because I need fur to upgrade my base or whatever. And then I get lost doing other stuff. I'm like, oh, there's a side quest here. And then another side quest. And then you're doing a million side quests and you're not progressing anything.
Yeah.
Meaningful, at least to the story.
I think to that point, it's a little bit of like the way we were brought up on this series, like as people who played it from the start or even, you know, jumped in maybe sometime later or bounced in and out. I think it's something that just it was a different expectation that I went into than I think the way Valhalla is probably best played, which is in that regard. You know, that's actually going back to Persona. The recommendation I often give people who feel like it's going to be too long is like, look at each palace section like a mini arc. And if you need to take a break or two after that, go ahead and do it. And it works very well in that way, and it's clean. Maybe I just needed to think of Valhalla that way before. Maybe I'll come back a year from now and be like, Valhalla is my favorite Assassin's Creed. Who knows? But I will say on that Infinity part, I'm not 1,000% sure if that was confirmed or just the Bloomberg report, but part of that Bloomberg report, I believe, became confirmed shortly after. So for now, it's the assumption of how that game will be structured. But I think they have sort of like a future platform for Assassin's Creed. Anyway, with all of that in mind, we are running a little bit shorter on time for all of us in terms of making sure we can do the rest of our workday. So I don't know if we want to hold the PS5 UI feature for maybe another week.
It's up to you, buddy.
Instead of rushing through, I will say we were going to talk about, and maybe this is a good call for other comments. We got a few on Twitter, and thank you to everyone who sent in. Basically, as I had mentioned at the top of the show, accolades are a thing that was launched with the PlayStation 5 where you could essentially tell other players they did well in multiplayer.
Accolades, what's that?
Exactly.
I don't even know what that is.
I saw
the headline, and I was like, they're going away, and I was like, never knew you were here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it worked across all games. I think it was very limited. The only game I remember it working in was Ghost of Tsushima Legends when I played it. But anyway, PlayStation confirmed that in fall of 2022, the accolades feature will no longer be supported. The feature hasn't seen the level of usage we anticipated, so we are refocusing our efforts. We encourage the community to continue to send positive messages to one another. Anyway,
or posmens,
or pos, yes, as the kids call them, posmens. Yeah. If that means something else that I don't know, I apologize. It apparently didn't get the usage that they thought it would. I didn't remember it after the first week of the PS5 being around, so I kind of wanted to, I think maybe for a future week, take stock of where we think the PS5 UI and its features really are right now. Obviously, there's a new update coming out soon, or just about to come out, or it's in beta. I believe introducing some folder functionality that people have been asking for. Obviously, we've seen updates for things of trophy layout and format and things like that, VRR support and things of that nature.
And 1440p resolution.
Yes, that one as well. But I am curious what people feel about, like, if you've had a PlayStation 5 and you've been experiencing it, whether for, you know, a week or almost 2 years now, do you like the UI? You know, PlayStation took the different approach from Xbox. Xbox basically did the same UI. They bridged it across the generations. PlayStation did kind of what it's done the last couple generations and refreshed it almost entirely. There's some lineage there, but it's otherwise pretty different. And so I'm curious how, at this point, people are feeling about it. If there's certain functionality you really want to see in there, please let us know. If there's functionality you love and think has been a really great boon in addition to the PS5, let us know that as well. Write into beyond@ign.com. I'd love to hear what people are thinking. It's clearly something that they are, I think this is the like second or third UI beta test over the last year. So it's something they are continually striving to improve. But let us know. I'd rather not rush through talking about the way we all use our console every day. So we'll keep that in mind. But before we do wrap up, Jada, I do briefly just want to give you some time. You had mentioned on last week's show that I was not on. Thank y'all for holding down the fort with chaos, as I'm told.
Is that what we did?
Kill chaos.
Very, very specified chaos, I would say. But there was discussion about where to jump in for the Yakuza franchise, correct?
Correct, yeah. I've never played them, and with the news of them all coming to PS Plus within the next month, I put it out to our audience to tell me where to start, because I was like, do I start at Zero? Do I start at Kiwami? Do I start at Like a Dragon? Where do I start? I figured Like a Dragon was at the end, but Zero and Kiwami always confuse me. Thankfully, AO Bubs and Cheddarverse And our YouTube comments came through and took care of me. Thank you guys very much. And then Calamity Andrew at ACBarton08 on Twitter also hit me up with a tweet letting me know. So thank you all. Calamity Andrew's a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you guys all for, thank all of you for helping me out. And I'm sure there was probably other ones I might have missed. So thank you to everybody else who did also send me stuff. But those are the three ones that I could find easily when prepping notes for the show. So thank you guys.
So where are you going to start for sure?
I am starting with zero.
You go are
zero. Okay. Yep. Starting with zero. Then it's Kiwami 1, Kiwami 2, 3 through 5 remasters, 6, and then Like a Dragon. Unless 6 okay. is Like a Dragon.
No, that's seven,
I think
I
seven. Yeah. Seven is Like a Dragon. Correct. Yes. Yeah. So, but there we go.
Cool.
That is the order.
I started with Kiwami. So maybe I made the mistake. We'll find out. But yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
So like the way that Aobubs mentioned it is that Kiwami is fine to start, but Zero has one of the better stories and it's designed as an entry point. And it has, I think it has a lot of characters that kind of, it prefaces a lot of characters to get you set up for Kiwami 1 and 2, which are like from the ground up remakes of the original releases.
Yeah.
So I think you're fine to finish Kiwami and then go to Zero, or maybe... I don't know, stop in the middle and go do them piecemeal chapter by chapter each.
I'll play one chapter of each game.
Oh my gosh.
Then
can't wait to hear what you think of them in 5 years.
I either will really hate them or find it a really incredible way to play that franchise. But yeah, that I'm glad everyone was able to help you out with that. And thank you to everyone out there who watched and listened while I was gone. I'm glad there were no problems or anything.
Nope.
It was all
perfect.
It was all good.
It was a perfect show.
Episode.
Perfect.
We had Tyler Robertson yes. from the social team came on. He was mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Tyler's great.
He was good.
Well, glad Tyler can make it.
I want to.
Yes.
I want to tell a quick story.
Go for it.
This is encouraging. This is a hopeful story. And this is, I want to send everybody into the weekend with a little bit of hope in their eyes. I bought a PlayStation 5 with zero issue at all.
You can finally play.
Not this one. I've had that one since launch.
Yeah.
Wario 64, which is one of the deal people, he posted a link to buy a PlayStation from the thing, and he was like, "This is still live." And I was like, "By the time I click it, it's not going to be live." I click it, there it is. I was like, "All right, well, we'll add it to the card," and I'm waiting for it to kick me out. I do my credit card info, and 3 days later, I have a PS5 sitting right next to me. I just want to say, like, I'm hoping this is the start of, like, PS5s being able to... Because that was weird to me, that I could just casually click a link and casually buy a PlayStation without, like, websites crashing and all this bad stuff happening. So I just want to say, I think we might be getting there eventually. I'm guessing within 6 months, you might be able to buy a PS5 incredibly, like, way easier. Like, that obviously wasn't the easiest, because I think an hour or maybe like 45 minutes later, people started saying, doesn't work anymore. But the fact that they were live that long is really, really cool. So I'm hoping that by the time Christmas rolls around, you should be able to get one without too much trouble. And hopefully by the, you know, let's say spring next year, if you want a PS5, you can just buy one. But who knows? Who knows? But it was a weird thing for me to be able to do. And I just want to give the audience a little bit of hope that if you don't have one yet, you might be able to get one soon.
Well,
So we're office spacing your old one, right?
That is exactly. No,
you did promise somebody you were gonna destroy your PS5.
Somebody, I know, right? So part of me, I'm giving this one to my brother, and I wanted to be a jerk and be like, "Hey, so the controller's brand new, the cords, it's the Horizon Forbidden West bundle, so it was $550. Mm. I wanted to be like, I'll give it to you for a little bit less money because I'm going to give you my PlayStation and I'm going to keep the new one." But whatever. Somebody on Twitter listened to the episode and they gave me a few tips, and I haven't had the thing break since.
I thought you meant tips of how to break it.
Yes. Throw it off a mountain.
Yes.
Just
most creative ways to destroy your PS5.
It will be the call of the mountain, as they say.
Exactly. Apparently the biggest issue is the USB ports. You either need to set them to always have power when it's in rest mode or don't have power at all. there's a setting in between where it's like they have power for like an hour.
Interesting.
A power. That's I'm just like rhyming over
that's
here.
That's what mine is too.
And that's what it like defaults to, and that's what it messes up. So I switched them to where they always have power. I legit have not had that problem since. He also gave, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's an HDMI setting to make it where it's like HDMI link is what it's called. I don't know what like, it does.
I think that's the one where if it's linked to your TV, if you turn on your PlayStation, it turns on your TV and vice versa.
Got it.
I had to turn that off because my cat started jumping on my remote consistently and hitting the
and
power
it would turn
button.
Turn your TV on,
and it would turn my TV off,
and then turn your,
in the middle of my
oh,
game,
and then turn your and PlayStation off,
kill my PlayStation in the middle of an Apex match, and I was like, "That setting is done. I am never turning
okay,
that setting
so
on again."
I don't know if my TV has that functionality, but I turned that off, and that is also working. But my living room, my wife's PS5 does have HDMI link on because we turn the TV on, her PS5 turns on. And hers never has the issue mine has. So I'm willing to bet it's the USB thing. Because he said that that's what the biggest problem is.
Interesting.
So a tip out there if anybody has that like rest mode bug.
I've never had that issue. The weird issue I've stumbled into recently is that my dual senses will occasionally make a high-pitched noise.
Cool.
Fantastic. I found this out. It's apparently it is a problem other people have had. The solution is to plug them in and charge them via the USB ports. And it can hopefully I use the charging like cradle dock that they sold
like
third party.
Like that guy right there.
Yeah. Which I really like. Anyways. I think it's cute. But apparently you need to plug it in for USB to stop the line from happening, and it usually resets it. But otherwise, like I'll just have my controller next to me if we're like watching a TV show on like the arm of my couch, and I just hear that and I'm like, am I losing a frequency? Like, is it that thing where like a hair fell out in my ear and my hearing is going away, or like what's going on? No, it's just the DualSense.
Old age, Dornbush.
It's the dual
old
sense.
Age.
I'm not getting old.
It's coming for us all. You can't stop time.
I'm young forever. Anyway, with all that in mind, we've got a little bit of a longer memory card that I'm going to save also for next week. We're kicking it down the road just a little bit, just for time saving. But I do really want to read this one next week. But please continue to send in your memory card stories to beyond@ign.com, and we'll read them in the coming weeks. In addition to, of course, any of your thoughts on PS5 UI changes or things you love. But with that in mind, that is going to pretty much do it for us on this week's episode. Thank you, Mark and Jada, for joining me as always. It's been a pleasure.
Whatever.
Cool.
It's a joy to be here. I'll be the opposite. I'll be the opposite end of the spectrum.
Had nothing else to do.
Red, just disconnect Mark from the call with that. But no, thank you, Red, our producer, for making the show happen. As always, especially with me back in the studio and there being more production and things, you know, thank you to our production team in general for also helping out to make this all happen. But thank you also to everyone out there for listening and watching and for enjoying the show as you do. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for your support as always. We hope you're doing well. We hope you're staying safe. And as always, beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.